Well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Curtis Chang joining us now. And Curtis is a former pastor and Duke professor, and he's been working to help educate Christians through a biblical lens about the vaccine. Curtis, welcome to Rush to Reason.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you very much. So just to make sure that you understand where we're coming from, Andy is I don't care what you do with the vaccine. I'm never going to get it unless I'm absolutely forced to, because if I don't, I can't climb on a plane and go places, but that's me.
Well, I'm a little different from that. I just don't want anything forced on me that I haven't first been able to test on John.
Okay, I'll buy that.
So if I can force you to take it, then I might.
That works.
Go ahead, Curtis.
So the question is, who's going to go first, right?
Not me.
Well, look, the vaccine is not being forced on anyone.
Yet.
The government is not enforcing this on anyone.
Right.
This is a completely voluntary choice. This is exactly why I am trying to make the case for the vaccine from a faith perspective, because what should motivate us is not the government telling us what to do. What should motivate us is our deepest values and convictions. And I'm trying to make the case that as Christians, there was a very strong case for us to take this vaccine, both for the sake of ourselves, but for the sake of our family, for the sake of our vulnerable ones, for our churches who have filled with people who are immunocompromised, who are elderly, who are at risk of joining the over 500,000 Americans who have died from COVID. We should be doing our part and not simply looking at this from what is my own individual preference here? Because if there's anything that the pandemic has taught us, it is we are interconnected. All of our decisions and choices affect one another. It's not for the government to tell us what to do, but it is for our own values and convictions to inform those choices.
You're going to have to really sell me on this one, Curtis, because what I'm going to throw back at you is, I've never seen anywhere in Scripture where it's my obligation to make sure that I keep you safe versus keeping me and my own family safe.
Well, absolutely. Look at all the health prescriptions in the Old Testament. They're the priests. We're called to call the community to look out for each other so that the plague did not spread.
Yes, and when the plague hit, guess where those people went? Out of the camp. They didn't stay in the camp.
Yeah, Curtis, really quick here. This is bordering a lot on basically telling people they are selfish human beings if they don't want to inject something in themselves that is still fairly experimental. Also, dealing with something, let's face it, has a very, very low kill rate.
Well, yeah, and that was the other thing I was going to add, Curtis, is I would be more inclined to agree with you on all fronts when it comes to, you know, keeping others safe and vaccinated and so on. But we're talking about a virus. I've done the numbers. I've done them so many times on the show. I'm probably going to be blue in the face. I've been doing them for a year plus. I mean, we're talking about an actual death risk of less than 0.5% of the population of the United States of America. That's the risk you have of dying of COVID. To me, it's not a big issue.
That's for you if you're on average. If you are over 70, that number jumps up by eightfold. So it is not a
So then if you're 70, get vaccinated. But why should I?
Yes,
you have to convince me, scripturally speaking, why should I, 56-year-old male, I'm healthy, I've gone a year plus, I know I've been around people that have had COVID, I have not gotten COVID, I've been healthy for the last year plus, why do I need to get vaccinated?
To love your neighbor, because in your neighbor and your church and your community are people who are not as healthy as you are, who are much more at risk, who, like I said, are part of the risk of joining that 550,000 Americans who have died from the vaccine, from the virus. And so that it's to love those people, because the way the vaccine works is it's like a shield. It's a very effective shield, 60 to 70% effective, but it is not perfect. And like a partial shield, It depends on others to line up with you in the vision from Philippians 1:27 of the church locking in unity, standing side by side like that Roman phalanx. We have to lock shields, because if there's a elderly person in your church who comes to your part of your church, that elderly person, even if that elderly person is vaccinated, is still at risk of catching COVID,
Curtis,
and having serious complications.
Curtis, first, okay, and but so, now not only are you basically saying people who don't get it are selfish, now you're saying they're not loving.
Let me just finish here.
And plus, we're taking personal responsibility, which is a very biblical belief. We're taking that out of the equation by saying, why aren't they getting vaccinated if they are more at risk? I mean, why aren't they taking primary responsibility for their safety?
They are. Let me be clear. They can get vaccinated, and they are still at risk if everybody else around them, if a large percentage of people around them do not get vaccinated. It's not at 100% shield. So an elderly person absolutely should take personal responsibility to get vaccinated. But if everybody else around them doesn't get vaccinated, they're still at risk. So it's not a question, and I'm not trying to wag my finger and say you're not being loving. I'm simply saying, look, this is an act for you to consider to actually love and serve your people, your neighbor. Of course, it's your decision to ultimately not do that. But like we do in everything else in our lives, we make the case for saying, hey, how about considering doing this by expanding your range of concern? And that is absolutely crucial to the gospel. The center of the gospel is not do what you want to do. The center of the gospel is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Loving yourself and your own highest personal privileges is way down there in the list of biblical priorities.
Yeah, Curtis, well, first of all, I do think you're wagging your finger, and that's okay. I can understand that. Let's just call it what it is. You are. And secondly, I'm not as strong against vaccines as some. In fact, I'm fine with them. Okay, I have no problem with vaccines. I just have no interest in taking one because I don't care about COVID. I really don't. I'm not worried about it. I just see it as such a low threat threshold. I simply look at numbers, Curtis. Okay.
Yeah,
and to me, because looking at numbers, I see something that is nowhere near the threat level that we are treating it as. However, I am very happy that the elderly are being vaccinated at very high rates.
Exactly. And those elderly are depending on everyone else to also get vaccinated. One, to prevent themselves from contracting the virus, and also to prevent the virus from replicating so much in other populations that the virus develops variants that can ultimately actually evade the vaccine. And that's really the long-term danger here. If we have large numbers of people who for themselves don't worry about the virus, but ultimately will allow the virus to replicate in themselves and therefore develop mutations that end up causing problems for those who even got vaccinated.
All right, question. A caller called in and asked a question, Curtis. Two questions, actually. Two callers that asked questions. One is, what about the ethical side of, and this has been a big deal inside the Christian community, of some of the vaccines using fetal DNA in the vaccine itself? And then second of all, a lot of Catholics reject the J&J version for that very reason.
Great question. So I encourage folks who are really serious, who want to reason about this, this is your topic of your show, you're the Rush to Reason. If you really want to think rationally and reasonably about this issue, I invite them to go on to ChristiansandTheVaccine.com. And there we have videos that explain all of these issues, including one very specifically on the pro-life concerns. And basically it all gets down to whether or not you believe something that has a very distant historical connection to a potential abortion 40 years ago automatically makes that thing completely invalid for you to touch in any way. I want to make the argument that the biblical model is that the impact is not equal guilt. Simply because something that has been impacted 40 years ago doesn't mean the thing itself is guilty. There is no aborted tissue involved in the vaccine. It's not in the vaccine. It's not even involved in the development of the vaccine. What has happened is the cell line. So cells that were derived over 40 years from an abortion 40 years ago were used in the research and development. But those are not the same thing as the aborted tissue itself, and that cell line is not even in the vaccine itself. It was simply used in the research and development.
Got it. Yeah, and by the way, I'm in agreement with you on that one. I would not have any problem taking the vaccine in because of that. To me, that's I'm past that. That's a non-issue for me. Although I'm just not going to take it because I'm coming at it from Andy's standpoint. And Curtis, I'll throw this at you. There is also the flip side of this. I got a texter that texted in and said the flip side is we also know there are certain side effects to lots of different vaccines. And I know it's a personal choice for a lot of individuals. One of these topics, by the way, I don't even get into much on Rush to Reason because it's such a volatile topic on both sides of the aisle, politically speaking, that, you know, vaccines just carry such connotations with them. Some people love them. Some people hate them. Some people want to stay clear away from them. Some people, you know, will take them kind of at an a la carte menu, if you would. I'm kind of that guy. You know, if I feel like it's something that I really should take, I will. But Curtis, I will say this as well. A lot of what you're saying in regards to the body of Christ, I could throw in H1N1, I could throw in all sorts of things. And again, I take the position of it's not my responsibility, Curtis, to keep you safe. Now, it is my responsibility to make sure I don't run over you in the parking lot when you're walking out in front of me and I'm driving in my car, but it's not my responsibility to make sure that you eat right, you sleep right, you get the right nutrition, you keep your immune system up. That's your personal responsibility, not mine.
Of course. Again, I can be doing all the things that I'm supposed to be doing, everything that you've just mentioned. I can take the vaccine. I can watch out for my own health. And still, you, John, if you don't get the vaccine and we get together and we hang out, you are putting me at risk. So that's I'm not going to make you take the vaccine, and I don't want to guilt you to do that, but I'm simply stating the medical facts. And so I'm inviting you to consider not just personal responsibility, but also, yes, a responsibility not to make decisions for others or not to actually make sure everybody else is perfectly fine, but we're interconnected. Our actions affect one another. And again, I really have to say the second greatest commandment that Jesus said is not take care of yourself. It is love your neighbor as yourself. So we absolutely should be factoring how we affect our neighbor in our decisions as a huge priority in how we decide things.
Okay, Curtis, what about if it says love your neighbor as yourself, right? We want to be selfish, we want to be loving, and so forth. What about those who are at risk sheltering themselves so that they do not force their neighbor to take something that they feel is highly experimental and dangerous, and also forcing everybody around them to completely change their lifestyles and change their entire society to protect them when they did not simply protect themselves by sheltering while this thing moves through the population?
Again, the vaccine is not experimental. Or
No. I'm saying, aren't they being selfish if they don't allow COVID to first move through the population while they shelter themselves and then they reemerge into the population? Instead, they're looking at everybody else and saying, you change yourself to adapt to me. Doesn't that make them the more selfish than the other?
Well, but who, John, who's the they here?
I'm talking about those
people?
Who are at risk, the ones
the
that you're talking.
Population, the elderly, at-risk, yeah, those, immune compromised, and so on.
Those aren't the people aren't forcing anybody to do anything. They have no power here. They're not making you do anything.
I'm not talking about force. I'm talking about if you go to people and you basically, let's face it, use guilt, and you say you are being selfish, you are being unloving, you are being unthinking.
By not vaccinating.
If you do not vaccinate, right. And if you do not wear this mask, do 6 feet, shut down your business, all the other things that we've done for the last year. If you don't do all of these things, you are not protecting me. And what I'm saying is, who is being more selfish? Those who are using guilt or demands, whatever you want to say, those who are using these things to try to make everybody else adapt to them, or the everybody else who is simply saying, if you're at risk, shelter yourself while this passes through. Who's more selfish?
They have sheltered themselves. They have sheltered themselves. That's exactly what we've been doing for this past year. And if we want to get back to life, to normal, to be meeting with our elderly citizens, our immunocompromised people, folks who are at risk, like myself, I have 2 out of 10 risk factors for developing long-term complications of COVID, this is our best chance to getting back to society as it was meant to be, where we can move freely and meet in person with one another. I don't see what the downside of that is there. And when the risk for developing complications from the vaccine is incredibly minuscule, I mean, you know, you guys are smart guys. You can crunch the numbers yourself. We're talking about a really low risk.
And time out. Curtis, where I'm coming from on that, too early to tell. I'm a data guy. I love data. I read numbers. I watch that stuff daily. It's what I do, you know, business-wise. It's what I do on the show. And I will tell you right now, And I know this has been fast-tracked. We just had that conversation in the last hour and how we got to where we're at with approvals and so on. But I'll tell you right now, do I trust my government? Absolutely not. There's not a snowball's chance I trust them at anything. And I'm one of these guys where I'm going to wait and see how this thing actually shakes out before I inject anything into my body. That's how I'm coming at it. Because it's too early to tell as far as I'm concerned.
There's been 100 million people who have gotten vaccinated.
You know what? And they've only been vaccinated in the last month, Curtis. Come talk to me in six. Let's see how it pans out then. That's where I'm coming from.
I hope in 6 months. I respect that. I appreciate that. I simply invite people to say, look, this is a moment for us to actually end the pandemic and in a decisive fashion. And it's only going to end in a decisive fashion if we all act in a united and decisive fashion.
Yeah, leave it with that. Curtis, thanks. It's been great. I've enjoyed it very much. I really mean that. Thanks. Curtis Chang. And just look him up. You can find him. He's all over the internet. It's really easy. And by the way, that interview that we just did came because of some of the things we did on the Crawford Roundtable. They heard us talking that way and then wanted to do an interview here because they knew my opinions on this. And I think in a lot of ways, maybe we're, you know, wanted to try to sway my beliefs and how I look at things. And it was a great conversation. And I feel like I made myself clear. I think Curtis made himself clear as well, and I know, Andy, you did also.
Yeah, I'm playing more of a devil's advocate because, as I've already said, I don't mind vaccines at all. I just don't care. But I do think that a small group, you know, using demands or guilt to try to get a large group to adapt to them, why is the large group the selfish one and the small group isn't?
Franktown Firearms is coming up next, folks. When it comes to, we start talking now about defending yourself and doing what's right. And, you know, I'm one of these where I don't want to rely on the government to protect me.
Agreed.
I don't want to rely on the policeman to show up and be able to take care of the bad guy that just showed up at my front door. No, I'm going to do that myself. Again, I feel like that's a Christian duty and a Christian responsibility to make sure I can fend for myself. How do I do that? I'm a gun owner. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in that not only to protect myself and my family from others, but from a tyrannical government as well. And that's what the Founding Fathers set that up for.
I agree.
To make sure we can have freedom, by the way. So, you know what? Exercise that freedom today. Go to Franktown Firearms, 720-770-7777, or find them at klzradio.com.
At Franktown Firearms, you can always get better. It's a very conservative notion that no matter how good you are right now, life is all about improving yourself. That's exactly how the team at Franktown Firearms is looking at training, which is why they offer a greater diversity of platforms than most shooting ranges, including static, moving and shooting, and target acquisition engagement, so you can always get better. It's a great feeling to see your skills improving, and at Franktown Firearms, you have literally unlimited potential. Sign up for one-on-one instruction on the range or register for a group class catered to your level of ability. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
Managers control their employees. Leaders empower them. John Rush will teach you how to run your business as a leader, not manager, so you have the freedom to do what you love. You went into business for yourself because you wanted freedom, but right now your business couldn't last one day without your involvement. Learn how to stop micromanaging and give your employees more responsibility so you can step back and enjoy yourself. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
The opportunity to own your own home is part of the American dream. The Harris-Biden infrastructure bill aims to squash that dream by ending single-family zoning. Plus, it earmarks millions of dollars to get you out of your car and limit your freedom of mobility. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, transportation and housing expert Randall O'Toole explains how this legislation hurts everyday Americans. Kathleen Chandler with the Local Government Project at the Independence Institute invites you to her next workshop. All this Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Water's Edge Winery. Warm atmosphere, wonderful wine, and delectable dishes to enjoy with friends and family. An evening out? A gift for that special someone? Water's Edge is the place for you. More info at kimmunson.com.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. And, you know, back to our last guest, Curtis.
Sure.
And by the way, I love everybody that calls in and we can debate and so on.
Well, he's a great guy.
And while I feel like Curtis is very sincere, and he is, but he gave away why he's doing what he's doing. He's at a high risk. He's 2 out of 10 to have, you know, major complications if he gets COVID. And by the way, I get that, and I feel for the guy. And he's very sincere. He's just sincerely wrong.
Well, he probably also knows people who are at much higher risk than him and that he cares about them too. I just don't believe in guilting the collective to protect the individual when the individual can shelter themselves. That's been my problem all along. In fact, let's face it, what we're talking about right now with vaccines, that is what we have applied in every other area over the last year to our entire society.
And it doesn't
work. We have
work.
Shut down our entire society.
That's right, Andy.
Yes.
The consequences of that don't work.
We have quarantined all of society rather than those at risk. Right. And look at what it's done.
And by the way, that is not biblical. And there's nothing in the Bible that says it is, folks.
And here's another thing. He wants to talk about, well, there's a very low risk with the vaccine. Okay, let's accept that for a
maybe.
Second. I don't know. Because we, like you said, hey, talk to me in 6-12 months.
Yes. Right?
But let's accept for a moment there's a low risk.
Okay.
But what about the low risk that, first of all, COVID kills on a very low percentage to begin with? Secondly, somebody who gets the vaccine, even by what he said, now has a 70% lower risk. Okay. So if they have lowered their risk that was already low by 70%, and now you force everybody else, not force, but guilt, everybody else to get it, John, what happens now if one of those you guilted into getting the vaccine gets very ill or dies from it?
Good question.
Now, how do you feel about it?
Good question.
See, here's the thing. What you're basically saying is, I want everybody else's low risk to be set aside because of my low risk.
And it doesn't work that way. And by the way, folks, and I will say this, and I know he was a former pastor. I'm not. I've never been a pastor. Andy's got way more ministerial experience than I, but I will tell you right now that even some of the things that Curtis was using from Scripture to justify, you know, me getting a vaccine, frankly, are very what I would consider twisted ways of using Scripture to prove your point. Because what he used is not there, folks. It's not in Scripture. It's not there.
Well, first of all, it's not applicable, and secondly, just so you know, yeah, I would never have from the pulpit basically told people they were unloving and so forth if they didn't do something because of the risk of, what if they get sick doing it?
I could have used this example with him. I didn't, but I could have gone this route and even said, listen, if I'm really worried about making sure every other Christian stays alive, we'll all stop driving.
Right.
We'll all stop leaving the house. We'll all stop going out in public and doing the things we love doing, because with every one of those movements, quote unquote, comes risk. Risk of having accidents, risks of dying in an airplane crash, risks of dying in a train crash, risk of dying in a car crash. I can go down the list, guys. Moving around and having freedom, which, by the way, is what Christ and God and Scripture is all about.
Right.
With freedom comes what, Andy?
Responsibility.
And risk.
Yes, and risk.
You don't get freedom without risk. In fact, that's what the big debate going on in the country is right now. The liberals want no freedom, no risk. We're going to plan your life out. We want you to do it this way. You do it our way. You'll be safe. Just do what we say. Do exactly as we say, and you're going to be okay. I'm on the other end of the spectrum saying, wait a minute, time out. I'm going to do this my way. I want freedom. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and I'll take the risk that goes along with that.
Absolutely. We always get back to the two trees in the Garden of Eden, right? Choose this, great reward. Choose that, great consequence. Not, hey, let's eliminate all your choices. That's not biblical. That's the opposite of biblical.
That's exactly
right.
And
by the way, one last thing, John, and we'll go to break. The entire church is being destroyed right now by one thing, 6 feet. The 6 feet barrier between people means that you don't have enough space in the church. So what if you now say you must maintain that 6 feet, otherwise you're unloving, uncaring, and selfish, and you're killing people, then you will kill the church. See what I mean?
And they're on the way to doing that as we speak. So,
yep.
All right. We'll come back, talk to Patrick Neville in a minute, but Representative Neville, I should say. Make sure I do that correctly. Affordable interest mortgages next. Kurt Rogers, we talked in that first hour with Jordan Goodman about how you can get your house paid off quicker. We did that sort of at the end of the hour. But guess what? We've already got that product for you. It's called the Asset Manager Loan. And I use it. It works fabulous. And you can get your house paid off quicker and yet still maintain that equity and have access to it if you want. Ask Kurt Rogers. He can explain all of that to you. 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, a good shop is next, folks. And hey, accidents happen. We don't like it, but they do. They happen. You know, sometimes it's just banging in and out of the driveway. Sometimes it's in a parking lot. Sometimes it's out on the roads. You end up with a major accident. Whatever it is, a good shop can take care of your vehicle and get you back on track and fully functional and really as good as new. Find them at klzradio.com or call the direct line 720-541-7697.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. klzradio.com/accountable.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Representative Patrick Neville joining us now. Patrick, how are you today?
Hey, not too bad. Just getting ready for the big budget day tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a
sigh.
Do you remember when budget was a word that didn't terrify us?
When we had extra?
Yes.
Yeah.
How bad is it? I guess that's the first question, Patrick.
Well, so we keep hearing all these cries of we don't have enough money, we don't have enough money, oh, poor the state's just so poor. And if you take a look at the budget this year, the proposed budget that they're bringing forward to us, this year over last year, general fund alone, so this is excluding all that federal money that we're getting, mm-hmm. that, you know, the money where we're spending our kids' money, not even including that. So just general fund revenue. This is what we get in state tax dollars that we can have discretionary, that we can spend discretionarily. So just general fund alone last year was around $14.88 billion. So $14.88 billion. This year it's going to be over $16 billion. So we have a 9% increase in our state budget this year alone. Yet they're screaming,
even with COVID,
gosh, we don't have enough money. Yeah, even so, with COVID,
why do we not have enough money? I'm confused now.
Because, you know, I would say that they're
they're spending like drunken sailors, but that's really an insult to drunken sailors. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least drunken sailors are spending their own money.
True.
In this case, they're spending your money. And so
good point.
We've got this increase in money. They're still saying, well, we don't have enough money for roads and bridges, so we'll have to run a separate bill that's a skirt and run around Tabor
right.
to increase your taxes, and we'll just call it fees. We don't have enough money for education, so we're going to run a different bill that's going to skirt around Tabor and try to raise your property taxes so you don't vote on it. Because they know every time they go to the people
it's
and
a no.
ask, and that's really all Tabor does, it says, hey, do we have your consent to raise your taxes? Right. People say no.
Right.
And so they can't win that way, so they're trying to find different ways to do it. And it gets really frustrating. So tomorrow is the big day. We'll have a bunch of different amendments trying to address this. It's kind of a day for the minority because they really can't, and we're trying to just move money around from here to there. There's really no way to rule out that those motions out of order. So we'll do that. We'll probably spend, you know, late hours. We're going to be doing this all day tomorrow, running different stuff. And, you know, I'm going to try to prioritize roads and bridges with the excess money we have. And there's some other things that I think we should be doing, some awful programs that get funded, like the Healthy Kids Survey that goes and asks very personal questions about your children in their schools that they have no business knowing, like whether there's a gun in the household, how many drinks of soda they have.
None of business, by the way.
Right, so it's not a big chunk of change, but we'll try to defund that. Some other things, some databases where government's collecting information on you, we'll try to get rid of that. But here's typically what happened, just so the listeners know. So on those amendments, we'll run them, and then you run the amendments, and they'll get killed on a voice vote. And then at the end of it all, we'll what we call a cow. It's a committee of the whole amendment. It's a recorded vote. And what happens is you'll see this on any controversial amendment like that. Basically, they need 33 votes to defeat it. So what they'll do is they've got 41. They'll start going and telling. You'll literally see them do this on the floor, telling their members how to vote. So they'll go to their members in competitive districts and say, vote with the Republicans on this. But they'll make sure that they have enough to defeat all of our good amendments.
Mm.
And so it's really, I mean, politics at its worst, but this is what we're facing. So people, when you hear your state saying, oh, we don't have enough money, we just want to fund the kids more, they have money, they're just choosing to waste it on other programs.
Hey, Patrick, can I whine for a moment? I'm good
of
at
course.
It. Okay, just ask my wife.
So am I.
I'm really, really good at it. Hey, it all comes down to, when you talk about roads and bridges and transportation money, for me it comes down to four words: fewer potholes, more lanes. Okay, I just want more lanes. I don't want another railway. I don't want another whatever. I don't want another initiative. I don't want my awareness raised. I want more lanes. Is there anyone at the Capitol who thinks like me?
Him.
Well, I would say probably all the Republicans do.
Okay.
You know, I've been joking around for quite a while saying that we don't need any more pogo stick lanes, but I'm kind of scared to joke around about that because I think one of the Democrats is going to pick up on it and try to do it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you see what's happening. And even with this huge amount of stimulus money that we're supposed to be getting, $6 billion of, again, our kids' money that we're spending. It's not ours at this point. We're in so it's huge debt from the federal government. And just a sidebar there, that drives me nuts, too, because a lot of state-level politicians try to think that, well, it's federal money, so it's different. It's just free money. And it's, at the end of the day, it's still taxpayer
right.
money. It's still adding to our federal debt. So it doesn't matter if the federal government's giving it to Colorado and we're spending it. It's still our children's money that we're spending away right now. But beyond that, when you take a look at what they're trying to do with it, it's not to add additional lanes. It's not to make sure that 25 between Castle Rock and the Springs is a toll-free lane that's added. It's not that. They're trying to find little different pork projects to go through it. If you take a look at some of the programs they've done, like busting, they say, oh, it's been so successful. But then if you actually look at the ridership, they're subsidizing
that thing's
like
the biggest failure.
$100 a ride.
Yeah, thank you. That has to be the biggest failure we've ever done, by the way. Charlie said, by the way, less trains, more lanes.
Yeah, I mean,
I like it.
Exactly. We need some more concrete and pavement.
Yes.
That'll solve the problem. People are not going to give up their cars. And they always come out and say, well, it pulls so well. You know, people want this. People want transit. They want this. They want it so bad. Well, you know why most people want it? Because they think the other guy in front of them is going to take transit.
Right.
And that's just not the case because it's not nearly as convenient. People are going to be in their cars for the foreseeable future.
Well, Patrick, why can't we simply count the numbers? Okay, you can put on surveillance various lanes. I want them to count how many bikes use this bike lane over this 5-hour period, and how many cars use the car lanes next to it over this 5-hour period, and then allocate lanes for usage. Why can't they do that? Why is that so unthinkable?
Well, because they wouldn't like the data they would get back.
Right.
You and I know that very well. The data wouldn't show that it actually is benefiting the state whatsoever. And then even if they did find some people on the bikes, how many of those are Pete Buttigieg types that are driving to a certain area and then they can't
right.
find parking?
Hopping
or
on
whatever,
a bike and
so
going the further. Yeah, exactly.
Right, which may work well certain days of the year, but we're in Colorado. Guess right. what? There's certain days of the year where you're not going to see any bikes out there. And I mean, it even gets worse too in some of the major liberal cities like Denver, where they actually go out and they spend resources before they plow the roads for the cars. They'll go plow those bike lanes. So you'll be driving down a road that's just in horrendous condition, but the bike lane next to you, man, that thing looks beautiful. They plowed that, 2 hours earlier, probably put some de-icer down. It's just insane the way they're literally trying to keep people out of their cars, and it's just not going to work. It's not good for the commerce of the state.
Another bill that I want to ask you about that had a potential interview on this one, but I want to ask you first. I'll just do it on air. House Bill 21-1258 is under consideration right now. Provides Colorado kids under the age of 18 whose lives have been disrupted by COVID-19 with free mental health therapy sessions. What are your thoughts there? I have mine, but I'll get yours first.
So we see a lot of different supposedly mental health bills, and you got to be really careful when you look at them. I haven't looked at that bill specifically yet, but I imagine it's probably run by one of the Democrat liberals. And typically what they do, too, is, oh, we're going to provide this free, and then within the bill, too, there's no parental notification, there's no parental consent, there's nothing involving the parents, and it's really the government trying to get more involved in your kids' lives. And we see that time and time again. And my guess, if this is going to a certain department, again, that department's going to waste it and not do it the right way. And if you were just to actually have that money back in your pocket as a taxpayer and that money not spent, you'd probably put it to better use, finding a better therapist, maybe even want to use a religious service for that. And, I mean, at the end of the day, like, that's truly, truly what they're trying to do, is make sure the government has more control over your kids than you.
Yeah, and looks to like this is a bill that will just add funding to an existing program. It expires June 30th, 2022, which I actually do at least appreciate. But I, my thoughts on this are, and it's not that I want to sound, cold-hearted and I don't care about people and kids and so on, sort of like the last, interview I just had a moment ago. I do care about people. You guys all know that. But I guess when I look at this and I realize there are people out there that can't afford to have therapy and different things for their kids, as we've gone through COVID. But maybe the answer here right now, Patrick, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if we just got the state opened up and got back to normal, would we need this? That's my question.
Right. No, we would not. And make no mistake, John, that is not going to end in 2022. I mean, that's one thing I've definitely learned down there. Whatever they do, they'll start a program up, and typically this one may not be this case, but typically it's the first year, it's gifts, grants, and donations. Oh, we found this great people
right.
that want to just give this money away, and then
right.
they come back the next year and show how wildly successful it was, or in this case, well, if we don't have it, kids are going to die, and it's going to be something that gets funded probably for the next, 2-3 decades at least.
Right.
Patrick, I mean, basically what they're saying is, we destroyed all your lives with all our COVID restrictions. Now you're depressed, so we want to provide counselors.
The plus side of this, and we'll have to do some more investigation, there are 2 Democrats, 2 Republicans that are on this. So it's 50-50 as far as that goes.
That's probably not a plus. That's what the Democrats are so good at. They find a couple different Republicans that are weak, in my mind. And then they sign on, or they'll say, oh, we're going to give some pork to your district, and your district is really going to like this. And the Republicans sign on, and then they bring it forward to the General Assembly, and, oh, this great bipartisan bill. Oh, we're doing such wonderful things, and we work so well bipartisanly. And then next thing you know, we get a bill like the public option bill that's
right.
going to be death to the entire health care system.
And by the way, that was my next question. Speak of that, where are we at there?
So they had a marathon hearing that went late hours. They tried to do the kind of at the last minute, scheduled it for a Friday afternoon. I think that was an attempt to try to tamp down some testimony, but they still went for hours and hours. I think they started somewhere, it probably went at least 8 hours, I'll just say that. And then at the end of the hearing, they laid the bill over for action only. So the bill's still sitting in committee. What I'm hearing in the kind of halls of the Capitol are there are 2 Democrats that have some issues with it, but they're being really strong-armed by the governor because this is one of the governor's big pieces of his legislation and his plan for universal health care. And so he's really twisting their arms, and they're kind of holding out for a couple of different amendments that probably won't do a whole lot. I mean, the bill's still going to be completely terrible. But that just goes to show you kind of how the things operate here. When the governor really wants something in the state, he will push it, and he will strong-arm members of his own party. And there really are no free thinkers on the left side. There just isn't. There's very few, if any, people that will stand up and say absolutely not in those situations. They'll bow to the governor.
It's too bad. It's sad. Shouldn't be that way.
Yep. I couldn't agree more, but yeah, that's the state of politics in Colorado.
All right, what else do we need to be on the
involved for so long that a lot of those folks owe him their political careers.
Good point.
Involved with the setup of the Colorado Democracy Alliance.
Yeah.
You know, really turning Colorado blue, and he spent a ton of money. And, you know, it's kind of funny, too, that I was thinking about this the other day, that I don't think a lot of people realize he still collects his governor's salary every year. And so I find that funny compared to Trump, who actually donated his salary every year. But here the governor is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions at this point, and he's still collecting his salary and not donating it to charity like President Trump did.
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind.
What else do we need to be aware of that's going on that we could help maybe, you know, fight if possible?
Well, there's some other bills coming forward. The biggest fight this week is obviously the budget. That's where we're spending most of our time. There's some good bills that have actually made it through, but they're very small. I mean, it's really tough to get any sort of bill, even if it's a minor bill, passed. There's a bill that we had that said that if companies want to give a veteran's preference in the hiring process, mm-hmm. if all things are equal, and they, you know, so you have two candidates, same equal qualifications, everything equal, and one's a veteran, you can choose the veteran. And it's optional, which I love. I typically actually fight against a lot of the veteran bills because, as a veteran myself, I can't stand it when people try right. to treat us like some
pander
special poor
pander
class.
To you. Yeah, I get it.
Right. And so this one's good, though, because it's optional for the company, right? That shows the company actually appreciates veterans, and I like that. They're not being forced to do it by the governor. Well, even on that bill, we're having a really difficult time even getting that bill passed. And it's actually got a Democrat on it. And so it just shows you how radical the state's really gone. But then meanwhile, bills that hand out money to illegal immigrants for abortion services, allow them to apply for unemployment insurance, which that's another thing that I think the budget should be focusing on, is backfilling that fund, but we're not. But they're going to allow them to go ahead and apply for it, too. And so those types of bills just seem to be flying through. But just even little things that everyone should agree on, like a veteran's preference bill, we're really having a difficult time getting it through.
I had a caller call in and said, who's the Democrats on the public option bill that are wavering, or can you say?
I can't say. You know, there's two on the committee I'm hearing. But, yeah, I don't know for sure, so I really don't want to say. It's just kind of what we're hearing. They obviously have their closed-door meetings, and I think that's part of the reason why the bill was delayed so many different times. It was scheduled in committee at least two times, if not three times before this, and then they finally heard it in committee, and at the end it was kind of surprised to everyone that, hey, they're not even taking action on it.
Okay. All right. What else, Patrick?
Well, those are the main things. I mean, there's some other little bills out there, but, yeah, like I said, this week it's really going to be focused on the budget, and our whole goal with this is to really show the other, you know, the voters that if you put Republicans in charge, we will actually prioritize this stuff. We will actually spend the money in better places. But right now, with the Democrats in charge, it's going to be just a complete spend everything you have. And their whole kind of mantra is that we got to spend it all now. And what they're trying to do with roads and bridges too, and they've been doing this for decades now, is basically holding your commute hostage for some sort of additional funding. They know that people will not accept increased taxes for all these other little pet projects they have, so they prioritize all their little pet projects and then sit there and scream and whine saying that we don't have enough of your money, so that, well, we got to get roads done because we don't have enough of your money. And then even when they do get money for roads, they send it off to, you know, boondoggle projects like pogo stick lanes. So it's basically their typical playbook, and they're playing it all over again.
Yeah, and to your point earlier, when it comes to some of these things they're trying to do, you know, end-arounds on, when it comes to Tabor and so on, which, you know, none of us as conservatives appreciate. And it cracks me up when I see articles about that any of our local publications where they talk about these leaders of those particular bills. You know, I can name some of the names off, Faith Winters being one of them, as some sort of a transportation expert. And I go back and I look at Faith's history, and frankly, Patrick, I've got more transportation experience working on cars than she does. So I don't know how these people get labeled transportation experts when they've never done anything inside transportation.
Right, they were community activists before.
Unbelievable.
They haven't done anything. And in the case of this, the one that where they're trying to actually increase your property taxes for schools, they're taking it up another step, too, because they're actually asking for an interrogatory from the Supreme Court to get an opinion on that, which is extremely rare. We've done this once, and I supported this last year when we asked the Supreme Court, hey, if we break, do our,
right,
because we have a 120-day session in Colorado, if we break because of the pandemic, do those days count consecutively? And I supported the interrogatory because we were asking the Supreme Court opinion. Now, I disagreed with the Supreme Court's opinion that said, no, we don't have to count those consecutively. I think the Constitution is pretty clear in that. But I supported, hey, for planning purposes, we're in a pretty extreme situation we've never been in before. Let's get this opinion mm-hmm. as soon as we can. And when you do an opinion that way, it goes straight to the Supreme Court. You don't get all the other benefits you get when you actually go through the normal process of opposing sides, arguing in different precedents set before that. It just goes straight through. And so they're doing the same thing this year. They basically passed a resolution for an interrogatory opinion on whether or not they can just increase property taxes without a vote of the people.
All right, I'll leave you with that, Patrick, and hopefully we'll have some good news next week on the budget. Let's hope.
Yeah, we'll let you guys know. So
all right,
after
man.
This, they'll go to the Senate, and then we'll probably see it back at some point with some different slight changes, but my guess is probably not a whole lot of changes.
All right. Appreciate it, Patrick. Keep up the good work, sir. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're very welcome. Appreciate it very much. Always enjoy talking to Patrick. And great guy, gives us some great insight. Gino's Auto Services next, folks. They want to take care of you, your vehicle, and literally everything that it takes for you to go to A to B. And what I appreciate about Gino's is they're just honest. They'll tell you what you need. There's not a lot of high pressure there. They're just going to take care of your vehicle, tell you what's going on, and then you decide what you want to do after that. 303-794-6700. It's Gino's with a J. That's ginosautoservice.com.
For over 38 years, Gino's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Gino's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio, and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa gift card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Gino's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide peace of mind warranty. And Gino's continues to service Leary's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Gino's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when you're ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment, and be sure to check out all their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in today or visit them online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
Hey, we had George Goodman on that first hour talking about finances, where are we headed, what's going on with inflation, and so on. Somebody we've got right in-house is Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial. He can help you with all of your future planning. Just call Al today, klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
You can breathe easy knowing you'll have enough money to live comfortably in retirement. Now you have the luxury of deciding how you'll spend that money to make it work even harder for you. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a plan to minimize taxes and fees so your savings last. Before you stop contributing to your 401k or IRA and start taking distributions, you'll want to have a plan in place to make certain your money will help you achieve your goals. If you should need long-term care at some point, you'll want to make sure your kids get a break. Al Smith will show you how to set up supplemental coverage so your kids have some help and it's already paid for. It's time to shift your focus from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation with KLZ's Retirement Planning Specialist. Set up a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Barber's Foods, folks. Hey, if you want to stay healthy, you know, eat meat. That's my answer. I love eating meat.
Well, certainly happy and healthy.
Happy
it
and
depends
healthy.
On the meat.
Well, and they've got the best meat there.
By the way, can I just say this again?
Yeah.
that air-chilled chicken is so different.
It is.
I like chicken because it's usually something we cut into foods and, you know, recipes and whatnot. Their chicken is just delicious.
And you know what? And I don't think I've ever said this. The difference between Barber's chicken, to Andy's point, versus regular chicken is there's very few chicken, very few types of chicken, I should say, where you can literally smoke it, grill it, cook it, fry it, whatever you want to do, and then cut it afterwards with a fork. Barber's, you can cut with a fork. You don't need a knife.
Well, it's delish.
That tells you how much difference there is in the two.
So. Can I say one last thing?
Sure.
One thing I hate cooking on the grill is chicken breasts because they dry out really
His
fast.
Don't.
No.
His do not.
Oh, they're yummy.
No. So good stuff, folks. Barber's Foods. Again, that's the website. It's barbersfoods.com with an S, two S's, barbersfoods.com.
For those select few who still care about how the animals were raised and cared for, BarbersFoods.com is perhaps the last place in Colorado you can go to buy air-chilled chicken, locally raised beef and bison, premium Duroc pork, and wild-caught salmon that are all sourced from families that they know personally. Let's face it, some things in life are gone and never likely to ever come back. Like houses in Denver that cost less than $100,000, or knowing your neighbor well enough to borrow a cup of sugar. But thanks to Barber's Foods, you can still know where your food comes from. Go to barbersfoods.com and click on April Specials at the top of the page to find ground beef and air-chilled chicken breast on sale. And for Mother's Day on May 9th, they have Mom's Favorite Beef Filet Tenderloins on sale. Some things are long gone, but you can still buy your meats from a local Colorado-owned family business. Barbersfoods.com, connecting you to your food since 1949.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, that's it for this hour. Andy and I will be back for hour number three. Phil Kirpin, after John Zmierich, is going to join us, and we will talk to him about kind of the opposite of what we did in the beginning of this last hour. We're going to talk about how the lockdowns have been ineffective and actually destructive. So we're going to take kind of a little different approach than what we just had here a little bit ago.
Okay.
So we'll do that as soon as we come back. Don't go anywhere. Hour three is next. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.